So the archetypal bodhisattvas communicate the qualities of the enlightened being, and they take delight in them, and they are very delightful. So these are human qualities, humanity at its best, its highest, its fulfilled potential. So it's the wisdom and the compassion of the Buddhas, but also many related qualities which we can respond to. Energy, purity, fearlessness, peacefulness, steadfastness, equanimity. There's a whole transcendental spectrum. And Vasubandhu, writing about this factor, says that we contemplate to cultivate and to accumulate such qualities. So it's not a static experience. And the figures that we're contemplating, well, there's those wonderful names. You can read it like a litany, really. Avalokiteshvara, Green Tara, Vajrasattva, Padmasambhava, Pranyaparamita, Manjushri, and many more. And there's also something very personal, because some of those figures will speak more to you or more to me than others, will resonate more with some qualities for some reason. And Bhante says, a Buddha or a Bodhisattva appears to different beings in different ways according to their various tastes and temperaments and their various degrees of spiritual refinement. The same transcendental activity of the Absolute is perceived in different ways by different minds, being thereby, as it were, broken up into a multitude of glorious figures, in much the same way as a beam of light, on passing through a prism, is broken up into all the glowing, iridescent hues of the rainbow. So they speak to us with qualities that we respond to, which we can work with and develop, cultivate, accumulate in our lives here and now. So in one way, it is very practical. It is a path. And also, practically speaking, we don't see the Sambhogakaya. You know, we need to be realistic. We don't see the Sambhogakaya. We're not at that level. But we do get glimpses of glimpses. We're not at that level yet, but we do get glimpses of glimpses. But one can say of those glimpses of glimpses that they are effective because they can transform our lives. So how do we contemplate? Well, firstly, we create a space. We clear some of the clutter of our lives and our minds. So we meditate. We build up a steady samatha base. We come on retreat. Or maybe here we sit with a cup of tea quietly and look at the garden. Or we look at the clouds. We look at the sunset. And then we can open our minds and our heart and become more receptive. So the first level of contemplation is listening, the experience of the senses, including the mind sense. So it's outer and inner. So we can read, we can deepen our understanding by looking at images, rupas, tankas. We chant mantras, have that resonance of spiritual sound, which somehow is strangely right for each figure. You know, we can memorize verses that move us. We can write our own poems, paint our own pictures. And we can imagine those figures. We can engage with color, image, symbol, a felt sense of presence, which we may see clearly, or we may not. So this is taking ourselves into the mythic, the realm of the imagination. You know, so we can contemplate color, you know, the green, a vibrant, creative action. You know, we can contemplate the position of a hand, female fingers raised in fearlessness. We can contemplate the significance of an object. What is the lotus like when it's just unfolded into bloom? How does the vajra feel to a being of light? What's the tone of the silver bell that wakes us up to reality? And all of this can take time. Something might happen, something exciting might happen quickly, but also it can take time. And it may be that this is one of these aspects that we engage with, and we do it slowly, and we stay with it even when we're uninspired.